All right, and welcome back to the podcast. Man, it's always good to have you guys on. Happy Wednesday. You know, this is our segment where we do Wednesday's Word from the Wise. For those of you who are new to this podcast, we're a podcast dedicated to growth. And man, we post every Monday and Wednesdays. Monday, we have a segment called Monday Message, which I hope you guys are enjoying the series, Lose the Ego. It's a lot of good stuff there. And today, it's one of my favorite segments, Wednesday's Word from the Wise. Why? Because I get to sit down and learn from wise folks and learn from them. Today, I'm honored to have Andrew Jacobs in the house with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I got to admit, guys, I did a party foul. So our SD card, we had a conversation, this is probably a couple months ago, and the SD card only recorded about eight minutes of the conversation. So I asked AJ and I said, please, can we do this again? He was kind enough to come back. Yeah, so thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Got to be here.
We're on video now, too, so they get to see your face. And you're actually the first interview that we're putting video-wise, so I think this is going to be fun. But anyways, let's go ahead and let's dive right in. AJ, for the people that don't know you, I just got to share a little bit here. AJ is phenomenal, man. He's a phenomenal leader. He oversees a lot of areas in comm services, their communications department, their so many other departments, training, social media, and more. He can tell us more about that. But he's a phenomenal leader, and I've seen him and his wife when they first came out here, and just how they started. Very humble, very just sweet and kind. And it's just like you can tell. Like sometimes you can look at people and you can just tell, man, they're going to be great. They're going to do amazing things. And that's exactly what we saw through AJ and his wife Emily. And so, anyways, AJ, for the others that don't know you, just kind of share a little bit about yourself and what you do at the ministry.
Yeah, so I am the director of Charis Bible College, Communication Services, in Andrew Womack Ministries. And, you know, we do everything from take phone calls to social media response to email response. So anyone who is really looking to get into contact with Andrew Womack Ministries, we're really, in essence, we're the switchboard. If they're wanting to get in contact with Charis, a lot of times we send phone calls their way. If they're trying to reach out about, hey, what is Andrew's, what's version of the Bible does he read? Yeah. To, hey, I'm calling in, my mom's in the hospital, she's about to die, can you pray for me? Or if they're looking for product, we handle all of that and just serve everyone who reaches out to Andrew Womack.
Man, that's phenomenal, man. That ministry is so great. My life has been transformed and changed by Andrew's and the Bible College. And so with that, just kind of the emphasis we're going to focus on today, guys, is AJ is a phenomenal leader, man. Just like you're saying, director of communications. There's a lot of things that are happening. And comm services is one of the biggest departments in the ministry. And you being able to be entrusted to steward that, be entrusted to ensure that everyone gets communicated with and connected with. It's a lot of responsibility, man. So you're a powerful, high-capacity leader, and I believe we can truly learn from you. You know, so with that, like, there's a lot of young leaders. We call each other growth fanatics, right? So the growth fanatics that are listening here would love to learn from you, AJ. What are some advice, the biggest advice you would give to young leaders who are, man, they're just on the path of wanting to become a leader?
Sure.
And you know, we're probably talking positionally, but obviously there's probably some things you can talk about even influentially. But what's your biggest advice to young leaders?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was coming into the ministry. You know, I mean, you know, you trained me. For those who don't know, Josue was my trainer when I first got into communication services. And, you know, he did a phenomenal job training me, training the class. And, you know, I was very hungry. I was hungry for skill sets. I think after like 2 weeks being on the phones, I remember applying for a team lead position. That's where you have like a team of seven phone ministers. And I kept applying for the 2 years I was on the phones. I applied for team lead positions because I wanted to lead people. I wanted to serve at a greater capacity, you know, and I sought all the skill sets, whether it's prayer, customer service. But one thing I learned throughout that, well, there's several things I would give to young leaders, you know, be a learner. Obviously, that's probably number one. Learn from your failures. Learn from your successes. Learn from other leaders. Learn from books. Do everything you can to learn because that's going to set you up for the next season or the next phase of your life. But another thing that I like to share with people, because we do have a lot of young leaders in communication services, is not to try to emulate that next leader, that leader. Hey, I want to be, there's nothing wrong with learning from people, gleaning wisdom, getting what you can from them. Yeah. But I see so often where someone who is, maybe their gifting is more admin or it is that people side of things, but they want to be that admin person. They want to be that people. They want to be the John C. Maxwell. And so they read all his books and they try to dress like him. They try to talk like him. And it just, it comes across just fake to a degree.
Yeah.
So what I often tell people is don't try to emulate others. Glean all you can. But I believe that for those who are called to leadership, because I think it is a calling, God has placed that individual seed of leadership in you. Same seed that's in you is in me, is in your viewers. But it comes out through my personality, comes out through your personality. And so if you're trying to emulate, if I'm trying to emulate Josue, that seed of leadership, I'm not living up to my full potential.
Yeah.
Because God created me uniquely to lead in my own characteristics. And so same thing for that young leader. If you're trying to emulate Josue, if you're trying to emulate me, if you're trying to emulate John C. Maxwell, it's going to come across false.
Yeah.
So just allow those natural abilities that are in you, educate yourself, learn, get mentors, but allow that natural leadership to flow out of your giftings, out of your personality, because God called you as a leader and he didn't want another John C. Maxwell.
Right.
He didn't want another Josue. He didn't want another Andrew Jacobs. He wanted you. So that's one thing that I like to share. Educate yourself, but don't try to emulate others.
Man, that's beautiful. And it just comes down to that old saying, guys, don't try and be a cheap copy of someone else. Be your original self.
That's good.
And that's powerful. And that's so true, AJ, because even in your style of leadership, you are AJ. You're not David McClure. You're not Andrew Wirtz.
Yeah.
You're AJ.
Yep.
And by the way, AJ, if you ever want to get fashion advice, AJ's the guy. Now, I'm not. I got to be a little honest here. I would always see you dress up, and me and my cousin would be like, man, that dude, he always looks fly, man. Honestly, you caused me to step in my game and probably not wear so much suit, because I used to be that suited guy.
Man,
that always rocked the slacks and suits, and after tearing too many pants, I said, that guy looks fly. He's not wearing slacks.
Oh,
so
funny.
I rocked that. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
But, man, you mentioned something here, so I kind of want to, if you mind sharing, you talked about applying for different positions at times, and you didn't get it.
Oh, yeah.
How many?
So in the 2 years I was in communication services, well, about a year and 9 months, year and 10 months, somewhere around there, I applied for a team lead 7 times, and 7 times got 7 no's. And it was on the 8th time, finally, after graduating third year ministry school in 2019, that I was offered the position. So, yeah, it could get discouraging.
Yeah.
I mean, the first few times I applied, I was just, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I was new to comm services and stuff like that. And but one thing I really value through those no's, you know, we, like I said, we have a lot of young leaders. And at times, you know, people don't get hired to the position that they want, they feel that they're ready for, and they may not handle it well.
Yeah.
That gives me a unique opportunity, because I really do like to invest in the young leaders, any leaders really, that if I hear of something that, hey, they didn't really take that well, often I'll bring them into my office and like, hey, why don't you sit down? Let's compare notes.
Right.
You know, how long have you been here? Oh, you know, 3-4 months. And, you know, I really want a leadership position. Like, hey, I get it, because that was me, you know, but me times 7. So it gives me a lot of opportunity to build that rapport with the young leaders and share with them what I learned. Hey, you didn't really handle this situation well. I didn't handle that situation well, but here's what I learned through those 7 times of getting those no's. But every time, you know, you do get disappointed, because no one likes rejection. No one likes to hear that, no, you didn't get the position. We've gone with someone else. But every single time, once that sting kind of wore off, you know, talking to my wife, talking to the Lord, every time, like, okay, God, how can I be better next time? What can I learn through this no that I got? Yeah. Because those who are in leadership, they were right. They had a reason to say no, because somewhere in either my leadership, my knowledge of the ministry, the organization, it's somewhere lacking. So God, what can I do? How can I grow? And I would always be hungry for feedback. Yeah. You know, whether it was Stephen McClellan or any of the other leaders, they'd always ask, you know, we've gone in another direction. Would you like feedback? I would always be like, yes, please let me know what I could do better. How can I improve? How can I get better? So those are just some of the things that I share. You know, always learn from those no's, because that's going to be the stepping stone for the next season in your life.
Man, that's powerful, man. Especially like having that tenacity to not give up, because sometimes I've seen people that have tried and either they got rejected or told no, and then it ends up being, why even try? Like, I guess I'm just called to this, or let me go find another place somewhere else. Sure. And that's really encouraging just to see your story of seven times. You know, each of those times, how have you, you know, handled those emotions? Like when you get rejected, like kind of put us in that place right now. You know, we're sitting down and I'm telling you, sorry, we went with someone else and your high hopes were, I'm going to get this.
Yeah. Well, I had a good poker face. So, you know, I was like, oh yeah, totally. I understand. But my poor wife, you know, the car ride home, you know, or, you know, and especially, you know, dealing with insecurities as a young leader, anyone will deal with insecurities. Yeah. You know, I'd go back to my desk and, you know, I'd write stuff down and I'm still taking calls and that sting is still there. And then I'd get in the car and I'd share with my wife and, you know, I'd have maybe a little pity party at times. It depends on when it was that that I got those rejections. But because I'm an external processor, you know, my wife, she's just sitting there. Hey, you know, don't give up. Don't, you know, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have something for you. And she was really good about encouraging me. But then I would ultimately just take it to the Lord. You know, once I'd calmed down, once I processed everything, it's like, okay, God, how can I do better the next time? So always, you know, talking to your spouse, if you have one, talking to a mentor, talking to someone who's in your life. So if you need to process that, if you need someone to help process that, reach out. But ultimately taking it to the Lord. Yeah. And he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And that's just what I would do. And I was like, okay, I give this to you. Now, Lord, how can I learn for the next time? And he's faithful.
Do you ever get to a point, because I've done this before in processing, man, I process with people. And then later on, I almost feel guilty of like, man, I should be bigger than this. Why am I complaining about that? How do you overcome that? Or have you overcome that? And give some advice or speak to that.
Yeah. Cause you can always get in that place of, I shared too much, you know, because the sting, I open up too much or reveal things. It's like, that's not who I am. I was just frustrated. Yeah. I was just angry. So you got to guard your heart against that. You know, taking a step back, when you get those disappointments in life, take it from me, do it sooner rather than later. If you're, because you feel all those emotions, and you know, emotions, they can be a very positive thing, but they can be a negative thing if they lead you in the wrong direction. So if you can get to that place when you're facing a disappointment, a rejection, whatever that is, just to step back, take a breath, pray, talk to, you know, a close confidant. That way you're not just spreading your bitterness, anger, frustration, disappointment, because that's going to lower your, what people think of you in their house. Like, man, he's always complaining. Man, he doesn't handle rejection well. And I was that person at times. So just taking a step back and breathing and processing before, you know, so you can articulate a conversation with, hey, you know, whether it's that leader, hey, I'd like feedback because I've been coming here, you know, this is my fourth time or whatever. What is it I need to do? What is it you guys are looking? How can I grow? You know, that's going to be received much better than, oh, they just don't like me. You know, there's just that, it's nepotism. You know, I'm just not buddy buddies, whatever that looks like. So just take a breath, slow down.
That's good. Lock and save you that. No, man, that's powerful. And I think, Yeah. You know, it's that old adage of like biting your tongue,
yeah.
you know, and really thinking about it, thinking before you speak, especially yeah. anytime your emotions are high, it's not wise to open your mouth. Like that's the time to keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
And so with this, AJ, like you have proven yourself faithful, you have overcome those things. And it's so powerful just to see. And there's one point from you being that team lead.
Yeah.
And then, so the way the breakdown works, guys, in comm services, and I'm sure it's probably a little different, but at the time, you know, you had a team lead, then you had a shift lead who oversaw like a, you know, a group of, you know, 3-4 different team leads with all the other teams. And then you had a the phone operations, you know, supervisor that oversaw kind of the whole floor. And so from this, you know, AJ goes from, you know, 7 rejections to finally getting accepted. And then our phone operations is gone. I don't know how long ago that was from when you were the team lead. But then after that, immediately AJ jumps over and becomes that phone ops supervisor, which to us, that's really unique and powerful. And the context of that is because generally you hire from the shift leads in that area, generally speaking. But AJ made a jump, not even being a shift lead yet, to coming to that. Yeah. What would you add to that? How did that happen? And just shed some light to that.
Yeah, so I became a team lead. It was about May of 2019. And then in October of 2019, that's when I became the phone ops supervisor. Mm-hmm. So I was in the role for 3 to 4 months as a team lead, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I always tell people there's 2 favorite jobs that I've had in communication services, being a team lead and being director. That's awesome. Because being a team lead, you could really pass to your people. And I just had a passion for it.
Yeah.
You know, every day I showed up. Mm-hmm. You know, not to brag or anything like that, but I was there to get a job done. I was there to lead my team. I was there to support them. I was there to mentor them. I was there to encourage them, help them however I could. And that was really my heart. You know, I have more of that pastoral heart to lead people, to serve people. Well, fast forward to around the end of the summer in 2019, Jeannie Rhodes, who was very much a mentor in my life in communication services. At one point, she was my team lead, and then she became a shift lead, and then she became the phone operations supervisor. So she calls me in her office, and she just sits me down. You know, Jeannie had a very distinct way of doing things. You know, she would kind of like cock her head down, and she'd be like, and I was just like, oh no, did I get in trouble? And I was like, I think I've been doing a good job. So I go into her office and I sit down, and she just shares with me that, you know, her and her husband, Johnny Rhodes, are moving on to the next season of their life. They're going to be moving out of state. Mm. And she just asked me, hey, have you ever considered applying for this position? I was like, no, I haven't. You know, I had no real ambition for that, you know, because for 2 years, 7 times, I tried to be a team lead, and I got there, and I felt like I was finally in a stride. And she just said, well, you know, I think you would be really good at it. I think you could do this job. How about you just pray about it? I was like, and I respected Jeannie and stuff. Like I said, she was very much a mentor in my life. And so I was like, well, I'll pray about it. Because I don't do anything major in my life. Psalm 37:4 is my life verse. Delight yourself in the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart. And when she called me and I had no desire, probably because it wasn't even in my view. Yeah. You know, I had no thoughts about that whatsoever. And so when she presented that to me, I sought the Lord. I talked to my wife. I just delighted in the Lord. And I felt the desire to pursue that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the job entailed. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know how I'd do the job, but first I got the desire. And after that, God, anytime, like I always ask, okay, God, give me the desire. If I don't have a desire, I won't pursue it. But with the desire, he also has to give me the vision for the job. Because if I step into a new role, a new season, and I don't have a vision for that, I don't have a sense of a direction that I want to go, even if it's the wrong sense of direction, I have no business pursuing that. And is that really from God? Because if he gives me the desire, he has to be faithful to give me the vision for that as well. So he did both in a matter of a couple months or a couple of weeks. So eventually I applied for the position, was interviewed, and I was terrified because you have David McClure and his top line, which was Johnny Rhodes at the time, Jeannie Rhodes, you had Daniel Davis, you had John Hood, and you had, who else was there? Scott, who's over the written operations team, Scott Swanson. And I'm like, I have no interaction with these people. These people like three levels, four levels above me. I've never seen them. I was terrified. But they just started asking questions. They took me through the interview. And I guess I was like one of 20 people who applied for that position who are both inside and outside. And that was it. You know, I was like, I felt like it was terrible. And I talked to Jeannie after, like, hey, how did I do? She's like, you did a great job. And I was like, wow, that's good, because I was terrified. I was like, I must have a good poker face. That's how I learned to have a good poker face, because I was terrified on the inside. So, and it wasn't for, so again, this was like August. It wasn't till October I heard anything back. Mm. But it was really cool, because I remember sitting in it was an all staff meeting, and it was during praise and worship. And Lord just asked me, because, you know, I came to Karis to learn how to be a pastor. I thought I'd be starting a church. My ministry school project was accepted in third year ministry school. And I thought that was the direction I was going to be going. And the Lord very clearly spoke to me, said, Andrew, are you willing to lay down what you feel you're called to do to serve Andrew Womack in this ministry? Wow. And I was like, God, if you want me to, I'll be a team lead. You know, because again, I was excited about that role. Yeah. I worked hard for it. But I was like, God, if you want me to, I'll be a team lead, you know, till the day I die. If that's what you call me to do, yes. Mm. And then nothing. And then after worship, Daniel Bennett gets up and he starts speaking on serving another man's vision well. And I was like, okay, well, that's confirmation. So I guess I'm going to be a team lead, unless this phone op supervisor thing works out. I don't know. And so fast forward another couple weeks. Now we're into October, somewhere around there. And I'm up on the mezzanine there at AWM. And I'm just preparing for the month ahead, taking some notes for my team. And I heard very clearly the Lord say, Andrew, you're about to be tapped. Say yes, this is of me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that down in my journal. I'm like, well, we'll find out if this is pizza or something else. So the next day, Jeannie gives me a call, because I work on the evening shift. She's like, hey, can you come in early? David wants to meet with you. Dave McClure, the manager of the department. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this is either going to be a really good thing or a really bad thing. I either messed up royally or I got the job. So I go in, I sit down, David's sitting similar to the table like this. And he just basically just offers me the position. You know, they were really excited about my interview, and he wanted me to have that role. And, you know, fortunately the night before, God, again, Andrew, you're about to be tapped. Say yes, this is of me. I didn't even need to pray about it, Josue.
Yeah.
Going back to what the Lord told me, will you serve this ministry? You're about to be tapped. Say yes, this is of me. So I was fully confident, able to step into that role and say yes. Mm-hmm. So Jeannie mentored me in that role, and that was kind of the beginning of more of a serious leadership role in the ministry.
Yeah.
From there, I became the phone operations manager. That was a position I didn't even have to apply for. They came to me and offered it. They offered the interim manager position. And interim just means if you mess up, you don't get it.
Yeah.
And so got that, became manager. And then I took over the phone operations side, but also the training side of things. That was a huge thing. You were part of training. A big department that is. A lot of responsibility. And from there, about a year later, somewhere around there, David McClure and Will wanted to meet with me. And I'm like, okay, because Will Royer at the time was David McClure's director,
yeah,
or executive director, excuse me. And so they met with me and they wanted to offer me, David was getting a promotion, well-deserved. He was becoming an executive director, and they wanted me to offer me again an interim director position again. That just means if you mess up, you don't get it. So they offered me that director position, and I said yes and stepped into it and became the full director January of 22. So this is my year anniversary, actually.
Wow. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Man, it's so cool. And way to, like, it seems like every challenge that came after you, every interim hurdle, which is just a joke here, guys. It's okay. but like you passed and you did it with flying colors. And so with that, AJ, like, what are some of those things that you can look back probably in those seven times to now, what is like, maybe give me two or three major lessons that you learned that you're carrying with you now?
Mm, that's a good question.
Yeah. Speaking of questions, as you're thinking on that, guys, this month we've been talking about lose the ego. And, you know, one of the acronyms in lose is learn from others. So we still have that 30 question PDF available. If you guys would like that, just some 30 questions that you can ask your mentor or ask someone for a quick, simple sit down for coffee, feel free to email me at hello@josuebar.net or DM me at josuebarpodcastquestions, and I can get that 30 question PDF to you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Checking the ego is really good. Yeah, but one thing about that, stepping into the role, because the higher you go, the more authority you have, but the more responsibility you have as well. Mm-hmm. So that means you can make a decision and the fallout can be worse. And I learned early on and through mentors and just lessons that I learned throughout that process that your role is an empowerment role. It's not just about, yeah, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make decisions. Then you're just leading through your own lens, through your own imagination, through your own creativity, through your own skill. But if you will empower those who are around you to make decisions, if you will empower them to lead their departments, Dave McClure has this this saying, one of my mentors has this saying, you know, walk in the authority of the position that you hold. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing that I had to learn. Even when I became phone ops supervisor, I had to learn that because I had to check my insecurities because I had a bunch of these shift leads who were my boss for several months, for years, actually, even being a phone minister. And now I'm their boss. So mm-hmm. I had to learn real quick, okay, how do I empower these people? How do I walk in the humility, walk in the confidence to not be insecure, an insecure leader, but how can I begin to empower these people that I'm leading? So yeah, your role is an empowerment role. If you, whatever leadership position you're in, always seek to empower others, empower them to make decisions, the right decisions. You know, you have to trust the people that are around you, trust your team. Once you do, empower them to walk in the authority of the position that they hold. And probably the biggest lesson.
Let me pause you right there real quick, just on the empowerment piece. That's so true. Like our positions, you know, we like viewing it like a dog sled.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we want to lead from the top and you're pulling your people, but that's not effective when you're on the other side of a dog sled. You're at the very end and literally you're just calling out mush and you're calling out the directions of where to go. Yeah. They're the drivers. They're the one that are going to take it to the promised land in that end. And so that's so powerful, guys. Yeah. And so anyone that is in leadership, I encourage you guys to take that to heart. Also, I do want to shout out David McClure. AJ mentioned as one of his mentors. We had an awesome conversation. Episode 70, it's leadership development / how to bring change. We did an awesome interview with David McClure on that. So you guys can check that out too on the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was that second
point? Well, to your point, I want to touch on that point that you said, you know, driving that dog sled team. Yeah. You know, the last three managers that I've hired, I've always been looking for people who will have that characteristic. I always tell people, I'd rather have to rein someone in than have to, you know, prod them along, show me something, because I don't have the time or the energy to be checking, hey, where are we at on this? What are we doing? I need them to come to me. Yeah. And I'd rather, whoa, you overstepped a little bit than have you done anything?
Yeah.
So that is very important in leaders, you know, having those right leaders, and you grow and there's a progression, but having those leaders who walk in the authority of the position, who are empowered, but have the confidence and boldness to step out and make mistakes, because we're always going to make mistakes. But if you're not making a mistake, you're not leading your team or your people. So probably the final one, and I always share this with the last two managers that I've hired, I'll always share this with them, you know, because that's, hey, what is your expectation of me? And that's a very good question to ask your leader. You know, what is some clear expectations as I'm stepping into this early season of leadership, leading a new team, leading a new department? And I always tell them this because I was told this when I became phone operations manager. I don't want you to go in and just start making decisions, making changes. I want you to learn. I just want you, like the last manager I hired, Ann Ergel, she's now the written operations manager, and we had this conversation. She's like, what is your expectation of me? What is it you want me to do? And I told her very clearly, I was like, I want you to learn. I want you to learn the department. I want you to learn about your leaders. I want you to learn every aspect about that so you can lead.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know the department, if you don't know your team, if you don't know that thing that you're leading, how can you lead it well? How can you provide direction? How can you say, okay, here's where we are? That's the first thing. Where are we at? What is it we do? Because if you don't do that, how can you say, okay, here's where we need to go?
Yeah.
Because you could be going from the wrong jump off point. You could think we're over here,
right,
and you're not. So that's one of the biggest thing is as you're stepping into a new venture, as you're stepping into a new leadership thing, learn first. Yeah. Take time to learn. Hopefully you have a good boss. Hopefully you have a leader in you that's not going to be, I needed to start making changes day one. That's not a realistic expectation at all time, because if you want them to lead well, you got to give that time to learn. So that's something that I had to learn, but I now apply in my leadership as well.
Wow, that's phenomenal, AJ. AJ, you hire, you fire, you desire different employment. No, but with those things, man, what is some advice that you can give to me as someone who's hiring someone?
Yeah.
Just to kind of prep for like interviews, yeah, prep for, you know, the position. How would you advise people in that?
Yeah. Well, first thing, you just got to sit down, just like I did, as you know, I was hiring a new written operations manager, or a few months ago, I had to hire a recruiting manager / HR assistant in the department. I had to really sit down and think, okay, who are people that are, I mean, you may have someone that you have in mind that you want to lead, you know, look at those who are around you, look at the potential, the high potential leaders that may be in your downline, maybe several levels below you. But start looking at them, start paying attention, because if, you know, Dean Radke always says this, that if you run out of leaders, you're done. Mm. You know, so if you're just focused on your top line, that's not a lot of vision. Wow. So if you can look in depth, if you can look down line and just begin to notice people. I always have people, you know, talk to me about who your high potential leaders are. I want to know who the new, the up and comings, the future directors of communication services are, the future manager, the future supervisor, the future shift leads, whatever that looks like. I want to know who those people are so I can at least keep my pulse on who can I go to? Who can I approach? Who can I have approached about applying for a position? And they share with me, they share, hey, we have this person, they're new, they're on the phones, or they're in the email response team, or they're a social media team, quality assurance, and man, they just lead their team so well, or they lead this project well. And I take note of that. I will not have a Rolodex of names, yeah, but I'm aware of those leaders who are around me. And from there, when I'm looking for a position, maybe you don't have a lot of people underneath that you can hire from, I just sit down, what are the characteristics I'm looking for? What is the role? You know, is it a, you know, heavy admin role? Is it a personal assistant that you're looking for? Well, I want to hire to my weaknesses in that area. Is it someone who I'm looking for to be able to take the reins while I'm gone? Well, I need someone who has characteristics that I have, who has my heart, who has my vision for those people. So you just got to get a vision. What is the role? What is it you're looking for? Again, is it that leadership position? Is it at more of an admin side of things? And from there, just begin to envision, okay, well, I'd like them to have drive. I'd like them to have passion. You know, three of the things that I look for in leadership, Patrick Lencioni has the book of The Ideal Team Player.
Yeah.
Phenomenal book. We really started implementing that in communication services several years ago. Because there's three main things you want to look for in people you want on your team. They have to be humble.
Yeah.
You know, that's a given. They need to be hungry. That's that passion, that drive, not someone you need to prod constantly. And they need to be smart.
Yeah.
And that's not just talking about like admin smart or, you know, number smart, something like that. It's people smarts.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in an area where you're dealing with people often, you need to have someone who's very emotionally mature, who has those people smarts. So those are some three good things that I look for, but also just taking that time, get a vision. What is this role? What's the ideal team player that I'm looking for? And then begin looking for it. Begin canvassing, begin interviewing people and asking those good questions that fit in those roles. So you can identify, like when I'm interviewing people, I have categories of humble questions, hungry questions, smart questions, and then some other things that I throw in there as well.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, I highly recommend you guys getting that book. I know we've talked about it here on the podcast before, but man, that book changed my life, dude. I end up self-assessing and finally realizing, dude, I was a lovable slacker. I was humble.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, smart. I just didn't have a hunger in that position. So, and the book kind of goes through some areas of how to improve in that too, and it's helped me a lot. So definitely highly recommend it as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
I do this at the end of every podcast, AJ. I ask people to give a 3-minute challenge. And I just want to shed a little light behind that before you answer. Just for the people that are listening, if you're new, man, I love giving a 3-minute challenge. And the reason why is because it doesn't make no kind of difference the mentors you have in your life, what you journal, what someone prophesied over you, what you've read, if you're not putting it into action, if you're not doing the next step. Remember, this podcast is dedicated to growth. So like the first step of growth is knowledge, but the second most vital step is application of that knowledge. And so with that, AJ, I just want to pick your brain. What is something for the next 3 minutes that our audience can do before they go home, before they listen to another podcast? What is a 3-minute challenge that they can apply right now for the next 3 minutes?
I would audit your closest people that you're involved with on a daily basis. Your closest friends, your confidants, because a lot of times leaders can get in an echo chamber and you're just surrounded by yes people. Oh yeah, you should do that. Oh yeah, you're the best. Oh yeah, you're the greatest thing. And that's what I see in a lot of leadership is, particularly young leaders, they get into their group of friends, they get into their circle, they get into that just proximity of people who think exactly like them, and they wonder why a year later they haven't advanced. You know, I'm reading all the right books, I'm doing all these things. Guys, why am I not promoting? I don't know, you're the greatest. It's because you're in an echo chamber. You know, I would challenge people to seek, you know, if you want to be a leader, find a leader to mentor you. Yeah. If you want to be a businessman, if you want to be a millionaire, find a millionaire, find a business person to mentor you. Because if you get in that group think kind of mentality, you're always going to stay the same. Yeah. But if you're surrounding yourself with people who are at a level above you, a level higher than you, they will challenge you. They will push you, not even by talking about, hey, you need to do better, hey, you need to do this, but just by them living their lives, by you observing them, you're like, man, I see they're really disciplined. Man, I see that they show up and they don't slack. Right. They don't mess around. They're not playing any games. And that's going to push you to that next level. That's something that I actively did when I first became phone op supervisor because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was in David McClure's office so often, just asking him questions, not so he could answer the questions for me, but just so I can, what's a frame of thought that I need to carry? I have this problem. How should I be thinking? And I would learn that lesson, I'd apply it. And if I had a similar situation, I wouldn't have to go back and reinvent the wheel. So get those people in your lives who are at a level above you and get out of that echo chamber.
Yeah, man, that is a powerful 3-minute challenge, guys. And that's probably one of my favorite ones out of all the interviewees that I've done. Sorry, other guys. No, but I'm just being genuine because that will change your life right there, guys. Seriously, if you just take the moment to audit, look at you, and I love that word audit too, to just look at your friends and look at what you have surrounded by you. You don't want to be surrounded by yes men. Like we've been even saying this month, but lose the ego. Who are the people that tell you no? Who are the people that challenge you? That's who are the people that are going to push you forward? And you need those people in your life. If just another frame of reference, if you want to know more about that, I encourage you guys to look at part one of that series, Lose the Ego, where we talk about learning from others, because I cover just different people that you can look at. So anyways, awesome. Powerful AJ. I appreciate the conversation and the time, man. Thank you for redoing this again, too.
Hey, this is fun.
I like this one better than the other one.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good. So anyways, love you guys. Peace.